should not place a styrofoam cup of scalding coffee between your legs as you drive. But McDonald's found out it was 1994, that not putting a warning on their coffee cups could cost them $3 million. So that's why there's a warning now, even though it's not a styrofoam cup anymore. Common sense says that you should not use a lawnmower to trim hedges. But the many warnings that come with a lawnmower include that, along with a warning not to put your fingers underneath the mower, okay? That was somebody's fun there, I'm sure, but that would work while it was there, you know. Common sense says that you shouldn't need the warning on every stepladder manufactured these days. I know from personal experience that warning's not heeded very often. My brothers and I called it this is not a step. And we use it on a regular basis. And I've seen Dale using it. I know Joe Scott has used the not a step. But McDonald's will tell ladder makers that it's a good idea to have that there. And besides, sometimes you're not actually standing on the top step, technically. Technically. Ligonier Ministries defines practical theology as an academic discipline involving the theological examination of the practices of the church in its worship, pastoral ministry, fellowship, outreach, Christian education, and counseling. Practical theology highlights the fact that all theology is fundamentally practical in nature. It is the process by which theological truth informs and is integrated into every aspect of the life and worship of the church. The basic meaning of theology is the study of God, basically. Practical theology, then, is the practical study of God and everything about Him. The book of Proverbs is, for the most part, a collection of very practical teaching, and mostly attributed to King Solomon. We're going to find out about Solomon as we go on, because my series here will be a study of how he forgot about that practicality as he neared the end of his life. Now, over the next several weeks, I'm not sure how long. I know it's going to be the rest of this month. The next several weeks, we're going to do a study just a few of those proverbs. And our text today is the first seven verses of Proverbs, and they are full of common sense. In a way, they are warning labels for wise living for the people of God. And so let's start by reading those first seven verses. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing and righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that it never returns void. And I pray that you would anoint your servant now That your word would come forth exactly what you want your people to hear today. From one who is blessed by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Verse 1 makes a point that I mentioned earlier, that these proverbs are from Solomon, son of David. The Message paraphrase says it this way: these are the wise sayings of Solomon. They are wise sayings from history's wisest man, and we do well to learn from them. And so let's do that as we enter into this study now. Now, in my English Standard Version, which I just read to you, verses 2 through 6 are one. Did anybody notice this as I was reading it? They're one single sentence that points to one powerful truth found in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you want knowledge and wisdom, start with God. Where do you find that? You find it right here in His Word. In God's Word, we find wisdom and instruction. As I said earlier, the Bible is infinitely, well, I said theology is practical, but the Bible is infinitely practical. What we need for living life is here. It's here in the world, in the Word, and we don't have to make it harder than it is. The Bible is also infinitely godly. Now that seems like a no-brainer. But to see the way that God's Word is ignored, or worse, if it's impugned, you'd think otherwise. And then also, the Bible is infinitely wise. After all, it comes from the mind of God via His Holy Spirit. It's no wonder the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. In God's Word, we also find words of insight. Once again, this is like a no-brainer. But the way we ignore it, the way we let the dust accumulate on our Bible, would indicate that maybe we're not going to it for insight. How many times have you been reading the Bible or listening to it being read, and you have an aha moment? And from it, you've gathered a new insight for living life more effectively. Or you hear a familiar passage read, and you hear it differently than ever before. I never saw that before. That's the Holy Spirit working. It's always been there. It just took you a while to find it. Those aha moments. This is the result of going into the study knowing where Scripture originates. Scripture originates from God Himself. Peterson says, it helps us to know how to live well and right. If you haven't before, be mindful of that the next time that you open your Bible or open your Bible app. I was just talking about the dust building up on your Bible, your print Bible, but how often have you opened your Bible app on your computer or on your phone? We have no excuse not to spend a lot of time in it. But how often? Be mindful the next time that you open your Bible or your Bible app and you read, or when you hear the Bible read here in worship or during this talk. That's why you will often hear us say, after we read the word, something like, "This is the Word of God." Because it is God's Word. I love what Carolyn says when she reads scripture, the word of God from long ago for people today. It's still germane to life now. And that's why the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. In God's word, we find instruction in righteousness and in justice and in equity. Peterson puts it this way. It's a manual for living, for learning what's right and just and fair. Too often, the people of God have fallen flat in the area of justice and fairness and equity. Too often, we have carried out the letter of the law and forgotten to err on the side of grace. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to be on the side of right, always. But we have to have the same sense of justice of the one, in the words of the song, looked beyond our fault and saw our need. That is justice and that is mercy. And that is what is expected of the people of God in an unjust and unfair world. And that's why the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. In God's word, we learn good judgment and common sense. At least we're supposed to. There we go again with those two words, common sense. Peterson renders it, to teach the inexperienced the ropes and give our young people a grasp on reality. In a world where right is called wrong and wrong is called right, we need a grasp on reality. Just a little exposure to the news is a lesson in incongruity. And this is just one example, okay? But the relentless push by the LGBTQ plus crowd, and specifically the transgender movement, is a picture of the incredible confusion that's being promulgated as normal. The medical psychological term for transgenderism is called gender dysphoria and is described as clinically significant distress or impairment related to a strong desire to be another gender. The very name and certainly the definition shows disorientation. Now, for anyone who is truly afflicted with such confusion, the response from the people of God must be compassion and a resulting loving response. But accepting that as normal is not part of that loving response. This is just one of the confusing things our kids are exposed to that we need to carefully and lovingly teach a biblical and therefore a loving response. But it's not, this gender dysphoria isn't the only thing. There's lots of things that are being called right that's wrong, and lots of the right that is called wrong. So it's not the only thing that I'm talking about. That's just an example. We as Christ followers need to have a loving response. If you struggle with any of this, I pray that you get a loving response from us as Christ followers. The Bible teaches good judgment and common sense. If something seems out of whack, it is most likely because it is out of whack. Help your kids develop common sense and good judgment. Kindly and lovingly assist people who are prone to be naive and to use poor judgment. Help them to learn the wise counsel of God's word. It's right here. Good judgment and common sense is a sign that a person knows the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. The Bible also teaches the wise to be wiser. The Message puts it this way. Referring to the Bible, it says, there's something here also for seasoned men and women, still a thing or two for the experienced to learn. A sure characteristic of a wise person is the fact that they never miss an opportunity to grow wiser. They're not afraid. Wise people, there's something really helpful for a wise, smart person to come up to a kid or come up to somebody who's not feeling really good about themselves and say, hey, could you teach me about that? Help me learn about this. Conversely, a sure characteristic of an unwise person is that they think that they have all the answers already and you can't teach them anything. I don't know how much more I can say about this other than the fact that a truly wise person knows the fear of God is the beginning of all knowledge. And then finally, the Bible teaches us to actually think. Our text puts it this way. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The Message paraphrases it this way, just half of that. Still a thing or two for the experienced to learn. Fresh wisdom to probe and penetrate the rhymes and reasons of wise men and women. It's going back to that other thought, that the wise learn how to be wiser. The Amplified Bible says, and the person of understanding will acquire wise counsel and the skill to steer his course wisely and lead others to the truth, to understand a proverb and a figure of speech or an enigma with its interpretation, and the words of the wise and their riddles that require reflection. Sometimes we know this when we look at the scripture and we think, wow, what does that mean? Well, we have to think about it. We have to chew on it. We have to pull it apart and ask others. This is close to my previous 2 points, but it still bears pointing out. We need to think. Part of the issue I pointed out a bit ago on the issue of transgenderism is the fact that people don't think. It's easier to just throw up our hands in frustration and not deal with it and say, oh, that's crazy. But what happens then when your child comes home with a thought that's been put in their brain? No matter who we are, young or old, new or experienced, we need to apply the brain that God gave us. The riddles we find in the Bible are there for us to exercise our brains and to seek the direction of the Holy Spirit. Muscles are built by increasing resistance, and so are our souls. The people of God are not quitters. We are contenders. The scripture that Wayne read from the New Testament, Jesus, the disciples were saying, what did that mean? And Jesus is saying, I'm teaching you how to think. That's the gist of it. Thinkers know the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. The title of this talk is The Beginning of Knowledge. I've been repeating time after time, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. What does that word translated as beginning actually mean? Well, how about this? A hymn that maybe you're familiar with. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Yes, the beginning is the foundation of everything, and it is laid up in his most excellent word. Fearing God does not mean to be frightened of him. Instead, it means to love him, to honor him, to hold him in awe, and to strive to know him more and more for who he really is. That fear is the very foundation of knowledge. And once we have that down, we are on the way to a life of godliness and righteousness and peace and joy. And that's what we're going to learn more and more as we look at Proverbs. By the way, if you read a proverb each day, today's May 1st. If you read a proverb each day this month, you will not only familiarize yourself with what we'll be looking at, but you will finish it on the last day of the month, because there's 31 chapters. And it's an easy read. It's a fun read. Read it several times a day. You'll think about, now that Roy's told us about it, you'll think about mules and wisdom and apply it. Next week, I started with the first 7 verses this week. Next week, we're going to hop all the way to the end and look at the last, very last verses of Proverbs 31, because that's when we celebrate Mother's Day. And let me just say that next week, during our sharing time, really, unless it's a really, really, really urgent prayer request, write that down and we can send it out. Next week during our sharing time, let's talk about your mom or some mother figure, some lady who has impacted your life. Let's make that our sharing time next week on Mother's Day. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father.